Today's shiur is Masechta Shabbos Daf Tzadik Hei. We will begin on Daf Tzadik Dalar Mabeis, 10 lines from the bottom. Tanya of Shimon and Lozo Oimet, Tzipayrin Shapira Shubai. A fingernail that has become detached most of the way. The Tzitzin Shapira Shurubin, strips of skin that peel off from the finger around the fingernail that have become detached most of the way. Biyad, removing them with the hand, mutter. The kli, removing them with a keli, is a chayiv chatas, is an issa deraisa. Ask the Gemara, mi kamidi, do we have any other situation? The bekli chayiv chatas, that if you did it with a keli, would be so usur that there would be a chayiv chatas, ubiyad mutal chatchila. Usually, if something is usur by a keli with a chayiv chatas, then the halacha would be that with a yad, there would be an issa d'rabbanan. Here, the Gemara is taking it to two extremes. Answers the Gemara hachikam, and this is the way to understand. Pir sheruban, if most of them have come off, biyad mutter, with your hand, you may l'chatchila remove it. And the way the Prima Gadim and other explain that it's very painful, and since it's a mokum tsar, Chazal did not make a gzera that if you take it off with a shinui, it should be usur. And in fact, the Bi'a Locha in Simon Shin Mem, Divrei Maskil Yabelis, says that if your derech is that you always take it off with your hand, these type of strips, then you would be usur to take it off. The only reason that you're allowed to take it off is because it's a shinui. And it's a tzmokim tzar, Chazal would make it with a shinui. But for you, it's not a shinui, then it would be osur. Or bekeli, if you take it off with a keli, it would be potter osur. Loi persha ruben. But if it's a situation where it's not mostly detached, biyad potav losur. When you do it biyad, it's potav losur. Or bekli, chiv chattis. So in other words, everything is only 1 degree removed from the other. Also, the Prima Gadim tells us that when you're removing it in the circumstance that you're allowed to remove it, tells us the Prima Gadim, you should be careful, of course, to make sure that no blood comes out. Amar Rabbi Yehuda teaches us, halakha of Shimon ben Elazar, that you can remove him by hand if most of the nail or most of the cuticle is detached. But now he qualifies that. If they're detached most of the way, and they bother him. So you have to have, so Rashi seems to explain that when they're in the direction of Pirshu Klapi Mala, that's why it's Mitzaryu. That's why it'll cause pain. And therefore, under those circumstances, Biyad Chazal Wemekel. How do we determine what is Ruban if it's mostly detached? So the Prima Gadim says here as well, we look at what is usually the case. And if usually this is the amount that's detached, that's what we could assume is Roif. Furthermore, there's a very big Machloikus Rashi in Tosfos, where the Gemara says that if it's Pirshu Ruban, we could be lenient. The question is, which direction is Pirshu Ruban? So Rashi says that if it's in the direction towards the body, towards the fingernail, that facing the fingernail. Tosfos, quoting Rabbi Natan, says just the opposite. Now says the Shulchan Aruch in Simon Shin Chav Hes, Sif Lamed Aleph. So we have now two opposite approaches. So says the Shulchan Aruch that because we have this very fundamental Machloikus Rishonim, and we obviously don't know which opinion is the correct opinion, so because of that, says the Shulchan Aruch, that we have to be concerned for both opinions, and because we have to be concerned for both opinions, the halacha is you can't do it in either direction. Another question that the Dvar Avram says, certainly, if you're not allowed to cut your nails under certain circumstances, Sometimes it's a sederaisa, sometimes it's a derabbanan. But he wants to suggest that it could be that if you didn't cut your entire fingernail, it will not be considered that you were oivid issa deraisa. We learned further in the Mishnah. The Mishnah taught us different activities that are considered hagdelis. Somebody braids a hair, paints her eyes, fixes her hair, are all chayiv according to Beleza. Ask the Gemara, Gedelka, Chelos, Bekeses, Shemai, Mechaiva, what are the Malachas? Says the Gemara, Amar Rav Ovin, Amar Rav Yosef, Rav Chanina, Gedelos, Meshemai, Regis. The Malacha of Gedelos is the Malacha of weaving. Kecheles is Meshem Koseves. And Pekeses is Meshem Tava, it's considered spinning. Amar Rabbanan Kamei Ravavor. So Rabbanan said this over to the Rabbanan, and they asked, V'chi derech Ariga Bekach? Is that the way that Ariga is performed? V'chi derech Ksiva Bekach? Is that the way Ksiva is performed? V'chi derech Tviya Bekach? Is that the way Tviya is performed? That's not the way that these different melachas are performed, and therefore that can't be the melacha. So Tosfos points out that the Ariga that's done here is not similar on the hair. It's not the same as when you do it on a piece of material. And Tosfos says the reason why it's not comparable, because here it's the hair that's still attached to the hair, to the head, and that is something which is no longer attached to where it grows from. That's one pshat that Tosfos suggests. And the other pshat that Tosfos suggests is that because it doesn't stay, that if you braid the hair, it won't remain permanent that way. To be considered a maisa ariga, suggests Tosfos, it has to be in a way that it will remain permanently that way. Here, it doesn't remain permanently that way, so that's why it's not considered a maisa ariga. So I saw that the Sefer Shar Mitzvot Balocha quotes the Dayan of the city Munkach in Europe, in his Reb David Schlissel, in his Sefer Gan David, the question, if you're allowed to use a safety pin on Shabbos. And Tosfos, he says, just taught us a very important halacha, that when something is not done that way on a permanent basis, it's not considered a malacha. So he said, using a safety pin is certainly not a situation of doing something in a permanent fashion, and therefore, based on this Gemara, he said, you're allowed to use a safety pin. El Amar Bavua, L'day Mefarsh L'Meneid Rabbi Yosef B'Chanina, I heard from Rabbi Yosef B'Chanina, K'cheles M'shem Tzavas, that when you put on eye makeup, the Malach is indeed dying, G'delos O'Pekeses is Boina. Ask the Gemara, V'chi Derech Binyan B'Kach, is that the way Binyan is done? Answers the Gemara, in. We actually have a precedent to learn that that's the way Binyan is done. Where? K'darish of Shimon Manasseh. The Pasuk says, V'yivin Hashem Elokim Hatzela. When the Pasuk describes how Chava was created, the Pasuk says, V'yivin Hashem Elokim Hatzela. Says the Gemara, Malam Shekil HaKadosh Baruch Hu L'Chava. HaKadosh Baruch Hu Kav Yochel braided Chava's hair, V'yivin Hatzela Adam and brought her to Adam. She came B'kar Chayom, in the cities by the seas, Karim L'Kaliyasa Ben Yosa. When they braid something, it's called Kliyosai. And as I saw, the Mefarshim, the Torah Tamima, explains. He says, the Gemara Masech the Ervin, Daf Yot Ches Amin Aleph, actually quotes a machloikus how Chava was created. One man, the Amma, says that Adam Rishon had a zonov. He had something extra coming out from his body, and that extra part that came from his body, HaKadosh Baruch Hu took that and created the Chava. But the other opinion is there were two parts, a front and a back, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu separated those two parts, and he then had Chava. So if she's already completely there, what is Pshat Vayiven? It must be that HaKadosh Baruch Hu did it. And as the Mashal explains, a person can't properly braid their own hair as well if somebody else braids their hair. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted so much that Chava should find favor in a husband, Adam HaRishon's eyes, so he went out of his way, HaKadosh Baruch Hu b'chvoido b'atzmoy, to braid a hair for that purpose. I also saw that Tosfos says, Daf Tzadik Dalet Amud Beis, the Remaskel B'chi, that it can't be considered that we're chayiv for Oirik. Because as we said a moment ago, when Ariga is only a malacha if it's done on a permanent basis. Here, braiding the hair is not considered something that's done on a permanent basis. And therefore, the Gemara had to say that the malacha was actually binyan. And the Ramban goes on to say that it's not a binyan. The Chachamim who disagree with Rabbi Lezer are going to hold that this is not considered a binyan gomer because it's also not going to stay permanent. And that's actually the machloikis of Rabbi Lezer and Rabbanon. Rabbi Lezer holds that this is still going to be considered binyan, and the Rabbanon hold that this will not be considered binyan. Says the Gemara Tanya, Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar Omer, Gedelas, Kecheles, or Pekesis, La'atzma, if one does it for herself, she's Ptura. For as we just explained a moment ago, you can never really get it right, L'chaverta, but if you do it on behalf of somebody else, Chayevis. The Kenai, Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar Omer, B'Shimon ben Elazar, Isha, Le'tavis, Rak, Apanah, a woman should not put on makeup on her face, Mishum, Mimnesh Tzavas, it's a mice of dying. She's coloring her skin. In order to understand the next piece of Gemara, we need to briefly review what is the process how cheese is made. So first, you milk the cow, and you have the milk. And then you put into that milk a culture, a rennet, that will cause the cow, the milk, to start to curdle. And you'll have pieces of milk, and you'll have liquid. The pieces of milk that coagulate will ultimately become the cheese, and the liquid that's left is called Mesuba de Chalba, is called whey. So says the Gemara, Tana Rabbana Choylev, if somebody milks an animal, he strains and separates the coagulated pieces from the liquid, Vamagavin, or somebody makes the cheese. If you did any of these malachas with the shear of a groigris, the halacha is that you chayiv in Shabbos. Hamachabed, if somebody sweeps the floor of a house, but rabbits, he lays the dust, what their floors were made out of dust, and they used to sprinkle water on the floor to get the dust down, the house shouldn't be full of dust. Varoy de chalas tavash, or somebody removes honey combs from a beehive, shag b'shabbos, if you did it b'shag, he's chayiv chattis, heze b'yontif, if you did this b'yontif, the halacha is if somebody does a malacha on yontif, b'mezid, the oynish is malchus, loika aboim, divir rebelozo. B'cham oimrim, echad zeh, all of these malachas en el mishvos. They're only osur of machloikus shvos. There's a machloikus rishonim. How to understand when the rabbanon say en el mishvos? Rashi, the Rambam, of the opinion that Rabbanan are disagreeing with Rabbi Lezer only regarding the last three cases. However, the first three cases, even the Rabbanan are agreeable, are awesome of the Raisa. The Magen Mishnah and other Rishonim, however, disagree, and their opinion is that all six cases, the Rabbanan disagree and hold it's not an Issa de Raisa, it's only Issa de Rabbanan. Says the Gemara, Nachem Baguria Ikla Nador. Boimnei, Choylev Mishamayim Chayiv. Why you chayiv, when somebody does chayiv on Shabbos, what's the iser? Amalim mishum chayiv. Mekabitz mishum mayim chayiv. If somebody strains mayim chayiv, amalim mishum mekabitz. Begabim mishum chayiv, amalim mishum begabim. Amalim rabbah kotel kana begavaha. He asked him, was your teacher somebody who just cut reeds in a swamp? He didn't know how to explain the braisa. Also, Shabbat Midrasha. He went and asked in the yeshiva, Amalei, Chayiv Chayiv Mishum Mefarik, you're extracting the milk from the udders of the animal. Bechabetz chayim shembayru, you're separating the whey, the psoilus, from the cheese, which is the oichel. And begabin, making cheese, they're taking the curds and then pressing them together as chayiv mishum boina. That's considered boina. So I saw what's pshat when he wanted to say that his Rebbe is not a Talmud Chochem. He calls him Katal Kanya Ba'agma. So the Sharm Tzion Belocha brings a beautiful pshat. He says that when somebody learns Torah, to be able to really learn Torah, you have to work on understanding the Torah. It doesn't come easy. Cutting these pieces of wood that grow by the swamp is not a difficult act. So the Gemara was saying, I'm trying to understand what the malachas are here. Don't just give me answers without explaining yourself. But of course, we need to understand the havamin of the Gemara as well. So the Sefer Lashon Hazov explains that the issue here was, what is the proper hasra when one does one of these malachas? And he was told that the proper hasra is by chaylev, say chaylev, by megabin, say megabin, and like that you won't have any issue that you didn't give a proper hasra. The Rishayim ask another question. That Rashi says that taking the milk out of the udders of the animal is mefarik, which is a tolda of dash. And the question is, Tosfos asks, that the halach is, ein disha el begdulei karka. Disha is only by something that grows from the ground. And milk, obviously, doesn't grow from the ground. So how could Rashi suggest that it's considered a melachas disha? So they want to suggest there's a difference how much the item I'm trying to extract is or isn't, and where I'm extracting it from. But the Ramban gives a beautiful teretz. The Ramban says that animals are considered gedulei karka, because since animals live off what grows from the ground, so they're considered gedulei karka. So the Gemara said that making cheese is chayiv for boina. So now the question is, that the Rishonim ask, that we're going to learn that ein binyan b'kelim, just making a keli is not considered binyan. So if ein binyan b'kelim, why is making cheese considered the melacha of binyan? So some want to suggest that when we say ein binyan b'kelim, it means putting together something that will not, that has already been put together, and I'm just fastening it together. But if I'm creating something from scratch, that is considered even by kelim, that's considered binyan. And that's why cheese, where we're making it from scratch, is the melacha binyan. Others say, from here we would indeed have a raya, perhaps, that there is binyan b'kelim. Another point that the Pnei Yeshua makes is that it could be that kelim and oichlim are not the same. And even if there's no binyan b'kelim, there is binyan b'oichlim. But the Pnei Yeshua says, you have to be careful that it should be cheese that's going to be put out to dry, that's going to remain long term. If it's not a cheese that's going to remain long term, then it would not be considered mutter on Shabbos. So the Gluyoni HaShas makes a very important point following what we just said. He says, if when you're making cheese, it's considered the melacha of binyan, so then when you take cheese, and hard cheese, and you crumble it, perhaps it should be considered tzaiser. Just like when you build something, we know when you build it, there's a melacha of binyan, and when you dismantle it, there's a melacha of stira. Perhaps if we're saying that cheese being built is the melacha of binyan, so then crumbling the cheese, he wants to suggest, maybe should be considered the melacha of soyser. So, we know that all melachas are also on Shabbos, but melachas that are the tzorech oichel nefesh are mutter on yontif. And not only melachas that are tzorech oichel nefesh are mutter on yontif, but the Gemara Masechta Beyo, that few days of an aleph, Basil teaches us And this is the halacha, the concept of metoich shehotru letzayruch, hotru nami loy letzayruch. Since a malach is mutter letzayruch eichel nefesh, it becomes mutter even shaloy letzayruch. So Tosfos, divrei hamaskil v'aroida, makes the following point. If we're saying that everything on yontiv is permitted letzayruch eichel nefesh, so it should be that the malach aboina. And when we make cheese, the Gemara just said the malach is boina. So therefore says Tosfos that boina should be mutter on yontif. Because if we apply two concepts, now we see that boina is a malach that could have an oichel nefesh application when you're making cheese. And then we have the concept of metach shotu letzoyrich, hotu namish loy letzoyrich. The halacha should be that you should be allowed to build, if a house collapses on yontif, you should be allowed to rebuild it on Yontif. And indeed, Taisa says that midaraisa, if a house fell on Yontif, you would be allowed to reconstruct it on Yontif. The entire concern is only because of the Dechal. And therefore, the Ber Yitzchak from Yitzchak Charan says that if somebody sukkah collapses on Yontif, he says that perhaps you would be allowed to rebuild it on Yontif, because we're saying now that you're allowed to do the malacha boina mitach shotru letzayruch hotri namish loy letzayruch. So maybe you're allowed to do boina on Yontif when there's a real, even if there's no tzayruch oichel nefesh. So our Gemara just spoke about making cheese, and the Gemara says that Shabbos you're not allowed to make cheese because it's boina. So the question is, if making cheese is also because of boina, so why isn't making ice also because of boina? So the Paiskim, the Shalas HaTshuva Tzitzeliezer, the Shalas HaTshuva Shevet Alevi, the Tzitzeliezer is Chelik Vav Simen Lama Dalet, the Shevet Alevi in Chelik Gimel Simen Nun Hei, and the Chavadas in Chelik Alef Simen Lamed, give three differences between the making of cheese and the making of ice. He says, somebody who makes cheese, he's making the cheese with his hands. Ice, you put the ice into the freezer, but you're not actually making the ice. Cheese, they also say, as we mentioned a few moments ago, once you make cheese, that's the way the cheese is going to look on a permanent basis. However, when we make ice, we know that the ice will not necessarily remain that way if it melts. A third difference is that when you make cheese, what you do is you take different curds, as we mentioned earlier, and you combine them, and now you have cheese. When you make ice, it's not that you're taking different materials and combining them. Rather, it's a situation where you have one material that you start, you have one material that you're making in from liquid into solid. When it's not separate pieces of material that you're making into one piece, then it's not considered that you're, it's not considered the Maisa of Binyan. So we're speaking about the Maisa Binyan. The Gemara spoke about braiding the hair. And the Gemara said that pekeses, braiding hair, is also because of boina. So the question is, what happens if somebody needs stitches on Shabbos? So of course, if it's a situation, rachman al-tzlan of sakonas nefashis, so we're going to learn, we know it already, that by sakonas nefashis, we need to do what we need to do. But let's say it's not a situation of sakonas nefashis. May stitches be done on Shabbos? So if Shlomo Zalman Orbach, the Shalos HaTshuvos Micha Shlomo Chelik Beis Simen Lamed Hei, says that there's a difference between making stitches and braiding. He says when you make stitches on a person, what you're really doing is taking two pieces of skin that were meant to be attached and just bringing them back together. When you're braiding something, or sewing something, you're taking two pieces that had no real connection and you're connecting them. Taking something that had no connection and connecting them is much more of a maisa binyan versus taking two things that were always together and are meant to be together and just putting them together. So we learned in the Braisa, Hamchaber Marabitz, Varoy de Chalas Tavash, Shog B'Shabbos Chayv Chatis, He's a Beyant of Loika Aboyim. According to Rebbe Lezer, this is considered a full-fledged Malacha. Omer Rebbe Lezer, my Tama, the Rebbe Lezer, where does Rebbe Lezer see that taking honeycombs from the beehive is an issa deraisa? Says the Gemara Dixiv, v'yit b'loisa b'yaris advash. When Klai Yisrael went out to war against the Plishtim, Shaul had made a decree that everybody should fast that day. Yonason, Shaul HaMelech's son, was not aware of that decree, and he was extremely hungry. So the pasuk says, "V'yishlach es k'tzei hamata shebiyodai, v'yitboi so b'yaris advash." He took the stick and he put it into the honey. And the pasuk continues, "V'yoshev yodai alpiv," and he put it into his mouth. "V'ta'ar ne'enov," and his eyes lit up because he was famished. Now the question is, asked the Gemara, the pasuk when it speaks about the beehive speaks about a forest. So the question is, "V'chima inyan yal etz advash." What's the connection between a forest and advash? Eloi Melchot to teach us. My Yara tells me when a Shabbos Chayiv Chatas. Certainly, if somebody detaches something from a forest of Shabbos, there's a Chayiv Chatas. Af Chalas Tavash, Haroid Vimen of Shabbos Chayiv Chatas. Says the Gemara. The next thing was we spoke about sprinkling the water on the floor to keep the dust down. Meimah, Shor Zilchav Mechuzah. A Meimah allowed that to be done. Omer, Tamimai Omer Rabbanon. Why were Chazal machmer? Dilma asu lishve gumis. Chazal were concerned that the floor was made out of dust, and somebody's going to level out that floor, and that would be a tolda of the melacha aboina. There are other rishonim that say it would be considered the melacha makom patish. Hacha, but here in mechuzo like a gumis, we don't have floors that are made that way, and since we don't have floors that are made that way, we have no such concern. It says the Gemara, Rabbi Tosfo Ashkechel Ravina the Kometzdaba Havla. He was suffering from the dust. Vamalei Makshish Berei Rava Ashkechel Rav Ashi the Kometzdaba Havla. There was much dust in the home, and they were suffering from that dust. Amalei Lasava Malah Hadatanya Haroitzel Rabbi says Beis B'Shabbos. Somebody wants to get the dust to go down in his home on Shabbos. Meve Arivu Leimayim. Bring a pitcher full of water. V'reichetz panos b'zavazu, wash your face in one corner of the room. Yada b'zavazu, your hands in another corner of the room. Raglis b'zavazu, your feet in another corner. And that's how the water will go on the floor. V'nimtza abayis m'srab melov, and like that the dust will have been settled. Amalei, lavadatoy. He said, I forgot this halacha that we learned in the yeshiva. And the halacha is that normally a haroma is not mutter, but over here, they allowed the haroma to be done because, as we learned, the houses really didn't have gumas. So since the houses really didn't have gumas, it wasn't such a strong concern. So if you do it this way, coupled with the fact that the house doesn't really have any gumas, we could be lenient. And some rishonim go on to say that it's a dov shenim eskavin, and it's not a psik reisha that you will be mash v'gumas when you do this. Says the Gemara, Isha Chachama, Tani Isha Chachama, a wise woman, Merabitz Beis B'Shabbos, a woman that knows Hilcha Shabbos, and I saw some Rishonim that want to suggest that what the Gemara means is that we don't let everybody do this. The only person that we allow to do these kind of activities is somebody who we know is a Talmud Chacham, or comes from a house of Talmud Chachamim, and will not abuse this halacha. Says the Gemara, in the Sefer Lankrab Shimon, now that we follow the opinion of Shimon, Dovashen and Meskavin is mutter. And as I said, it's not a psik reisha that if you're going to do this, your house will be mash v'gumas. You're allowed to do it even l'chatchila. Says the Mishnah, Toilish Ma'atzitz Nokuf. If somebody plucks a plant out from a otzitz, from a flower pot that has a hole in it, And Rashi points out, and we'll appreciate what Rashi says when we get into the Gemara Mitzvashem, that it doesn't have to be on the bottom of the flower pot. It's even if on the side of the flower pot. Furthermore, the Nishmas Adam says that even though our Mishnah Gemara are going to differentiate between a flower pot that has a hole and a flower pot that doesn't have a hole regarding the Malacha of Talisha, but when it comes to the Malacha of Zereya, the Nishmas Adam says, you're not allowed to plant on Shabbos, and when we say that you're not allowed to plant on Shabbos, that includes that you may not plant in any type of a flower pot, whether it's a flower pot that's atzutznokov, that has a hole, whether it's a flower pot that doesn't have a hole. Under all circumstances, you may not plant in a flower pot on Shabbos. So says the Mishnah, toilish matzutznokov, if you pluck out a plant from such a flower pot that has a hole, chayiv. You chayiv for the Malacha of Talisha, because since it has that hole, it's considered as if it's receiving nourishment from the ground. So it's like you're pulling something out of the ground. However, v'she'en enokof, if it's a flower pot that doesn't have a hole, so it's not connected to the ground, and since it's not connected to the ground, it's not considered the Malacha of Talish, but even though it's not Aser Midaraisa, it's certainly Aser Midarabonim. Furthermore, the Rishonim, Rashi Masech Gittin, says it depends on what material the flower pot is made. Because Rashi says there, if the flower pot is made out of cheres, out of earthenware, so therefore, even if it doesn't have a hole, it will naturally take nourishment from the ground, and therefore, there we don't differentiate whether it has a hole or not. There are Rishonim that disagree with that. Rav Shimon holds poita bezeh, and all types of flower pots, it's not considered toilish. Says the Gemara, Ramalei Abai L'Rova, Ramalei Rav Chiba Rav L'Rav. Tanan, we just learned in the Mishnah, Rav Shimon, poita bezeh. Both situations, both types of flower pots, Rav Shimon holds it's not considered an act of Talisha. Alma, and as the Ran points out, let's look at the wording of Rav Shimon in our Mishnah. He doesn't just say, he says, nokov and nokov are exactly the same. What does he mean by saying this type of strong wording? Alma, obviously from here we see that nokov l'Rav Shimon, a flower pot that has a hole, ke'en nokov mashvilei, they're both considered exactly the same. V'rminu, asked the Gemara, Rav Shimon oimer, ein bein nokov she'en nokov, there's no difference between nokov and ein nokov, ela hachshas roim bulvad. The halacha is that we know that a fruit is not mekabel tuma unless it was a mukshel kabel tuma. Mukshel kabel tuma means that it got wet with one of the sheva mashkim. So the halacha is that if you have a flower pot, if you have food, seeds growing from a flower pot that has a hole, it's considered that it's still connected to the ground and it's not able to become mukshel kabel tuma. If it doesn't have a hole, it could become mukshel kabel tuma. But here we see that there is a difference. According to Rav Shimon, he just said in our Mishnah, there is no difference. Answers the Gemara, Amalei, L'chol mili Rav Shimon katolish mashvilei. Really, Rav Shimon holds that all flower pots, whether they have a hole or don't, halachically are the same. However, v'shani linya tuma, there's a special rule as far as Hilchas Tumah, as far as Mukshel Kabel Tumah is concerned. The Torah rips the Torah Eitzel Zroim. The Torah specifically said that this flower pot that has a hole should be considered connected to the ground. Shnema, the Torah says, Akol Zera Zirua Sheizora. So why does the Torah go out of the way to say these extra words? To teach us that a flower pot with a hole for this halacha and this halacha alone is considered as if it's still connected to the ground. Ask the Gemara, Barminai Husava Mereb Zera, Sharish Keneged Nekef, if the root of the plant is directly opposite the hole in the flower pot. Mali Amar Rav Shimon, what would Rav Shimon agree? Will Rav Shimon say, since the root is directly opposite the hole and there's nothing between that and the ground, the root is considered attached to the ground and he'll agree that there's a Malacha of Toilish? Or will he say, I don't care. Even if the flower pot has a hole, it's never considered, as far as Hilchus Shabbos, connected to the ground. Ishtik v'loyam aloy midi. He did not respond. Zimnecha da ashkechei de yosef v'komar. Moed Rav Shimon shimnika b'chdei terasoi. Rav Shimon agrees that if it has a hole, that that hole is large enough that it would make it tahor. Because as we've learned many times, a keli, if it gets broken, it's not able to makabel tumah. And even if it was tameh, it loses the tumah. So here it's, so Moed Rav Shimon, shimnika b'chdei terasoi, that if it got such a large hole, that if it was tameh, and then it got this size of a hole, it would become tahor, then it's considered that it's one is chayiv for taking a flower out of it on Shabbos. Amalei, hash the sharish k'negad nag b'boyimalei. I asked you regarding a situation where you have a root opposite the hole. V'roloi amrit v'loi midi, and you couldn't answer. So nikav v'chdei darsei m'boyi, you should certainly have the same question. Why, if sharish k'negad nekav, the halach is, you don't know the answer. So nikav v'chdei darsei, that aren't next to the hole, so certainly they should not be considered connected to the ground. Why are you saying that it's considered connected to the ground? Amar Abaya, v'yitmel hada Reb Zeira. If we want to learn that Reb Shimon is going to agree that under certain circumstances, a flower pot with a hole is considered like it's still connected, hachidetma. Amayda Reb Shimon, Reb Shimon agrees, shemnikav lamatim revius, when the hole is all the way on the bottom of the flower pot, that above, that below that hole, you can't even hold a revius of liquid, that hole is considered insignificant. That hole is considered significant because if the hole is so low down on the, if hole is so low down on the pot, so then it's not considered a flower pot. What makes that the flower pot should not be considered mechubal karka? The fact that it's separate from the karka, that it's a separate keli from the karka. But if it's so small, the area, that it's a full keli, that it can't even hold the revius, it's certainly not considered a keli, and therefore it's certainly considered like it's connected to the karka. So since we speak about a klicheris, and we speak about a klicheris with a hole, the Gemara goes in to discuss this halacha. Amarava, chamish midas b'klicheris. When we speak about a klicheris that has a hole, we could speak about five different situations. Nikif k'maytzi mashka. So the halacha is, as we said before, that a klicheris or any keli, once it gets broken, it's not mekabel tumah. But as we've discussed so many times, they didn't live in a world where things were easily disposed. So if you have a shard of a klicheris, that's still usable. And therefore, if you designate that shard for a use, it becomes a keli, and it has all the halachos of a keli, it could be mekabel tumah. But let's say your shard gets a small hole, a hole the size through which liquid could drip out. The halacha is tar miltami gistra, and as the Gemara teaches us, shein oimrim havei gristal gristra. This is a shard, it's only a shard in the first place. And if any size hole makes that nobody's going to keep that shard and they're going to throw it out. However, v'dayin hu keli hu l'kash by mechatis, if you would have a regular keli, and it has such a small hole, and we need to bring Mayim Chayim to prepare the Mechatos, as the Torah says, V'noson lov Mayim Chayim El Keli. The halacha is that Keli is still a Keli, and it can be used for the Mechatos preparation. Nikav k'koinis mashka. If it has such a large hole, then not only liquid that's in it will drip out, but you could pour liquid on the wall of the keli, and the liquid will go into the keli. So it's considered, so obviously that's a larger hole. Tom l'kashbe mechatis. So you can't use it for the mechatis preparation. However, v'dayin keli hu l'hachshba zroim. Seeds that grow on it are considered as if they're still growing in a keli. And as if we learned on the top of this Amid, seeds that grow in a keli are not considered like seeds that are still in the floor. And such seeds could be mekabel tuma if they come in contact with liquid. Nikif kisharish katam, if it has a larger hole, the size of a root, then it's not considered a keli anymore. And something that grows in it is considered like it's still attached to the ground, and therefore it is not subject to be able to be mukhshal kabal tumah. However, a dying keli will kabal zaysim. It's still considered a keli because it's large enough to hold olives. And for a keli to be considered broken, that we mentioned a moment ago, that when a keli is broken, it's not anymore a keli, it has to have a hole the size of a kezias. So nikif kemoitzis zeisim, if it has a hole large enough which olives would fall out, tamil kabel by zeisim, it's not considered a keli anymore. However, if a dainhul kabel by reminim, if you decided that you want to use this keli for pomegranate, and for pomegranate, it's still very usable because the holes aren't that large. And pomegranates are obviously a large fruit. So then the halach is that if it's designated for imoinim, if it's designated for pomegranates, it will still be mekabel tumah. Nika mekotzer imoinim, but once it has such a large hole for which pomegranates would fall out, then tumah klum. Then it's completely useless and it's not a keli, unless, says Rashi, as we learned a moment ago, I designated it for gistro. I designated to use it as a shard. If I designated to use it as a shard, then the halach is that obviously a gistro, which is usable to me, will be mekabel tumah. When we speak about the tumah of kli cheres, there's a very unique halacha. Most kelim are mekabel tumah by tumah coming in contact with the exterior of the keli. If a sheretz, for example, touches the exterior of a keli, that keli becomes tumah. Kli cheres are unique that they only become tumah from their interior. If tumah is suspended in the interior of the keli, then it becomes tumah. However, the Torah also says, the kol kli psuach, Ash ain't summit pasav olav, if there's no seal around it, tamehu. So if you have an open kli cheres in the oil hames, the halach is that kli cheres becomes tameh. But if it has a summit pasav, if it's sealed, it will not become tameh. Says the Gemara, im hukaf summit pasav, if you have a keli cheres that has a summit pasav around it, then, and even though this kli cheres has a hole, it is still considered properly sealed to prevent tumah from penetrating. Atshi poches ruba. The halach is, it's still considered a keli unless you poches ruba, unless most of it is broken. If it's not, unless the majority of the keli is broken, it's not a problem. Amar Vasi. So Rav Asi says regarding this din, Shemati kli cheres shiur kemoitzis zeisim. I heard that the halacha when we speak about a kli cheres is that once it has a hole the size of a pomegranate, it is no longer tamei. Amalei Rava, Shema loy shemata, maybe you heard this only, el b'mukav tzomit pasul, to teach us that if it's an oil mace and it has a hole the size of a pomegranate, it no longer has the halacha tzomit. Talmud Pasul. Ask the Gemara. So we see from here that once the kli cheres has a hole the size of a pomegranate, a Talmud Pasul cannot prevent tumah from coming to this keli. But ask the Gemara, haven't we just learned for Ravu the Amr, Mukav Talmud Pasul could still work at Shipachas Ruba. So we have a stira. What will be the hole of a keli cheres that the aloch of Talmud Pasul should no longer be applicable? Is it the size of a remine, or is it yifachas rubai? That not necessarily in any way the same amount. Answers the Gemara loikasha. We can reconcile these two opinions. Haber Ravravi, when we have a large keli, So in a large keli, it's still considered a keli that some pasul should be effective unless he pachas ruba. Most of it is broken off. Bezutri, when it's a small keli, so there the shear is as soon as it has a hole that pomegranate could fall out.